This is Windows Observer Launch Control. We are just seconds away from the start of the Observe Tech podcast. Stand by for final sequencing and launch. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we have launch of the Observe Tech podcast. Keeping an eye on Windows and other things tech, here is your host, Richard Hay of WindowsObserver.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Rich Hay from WindowsObserver.com and the super site for Windows. It is Monday, the 9th of November, 2015, and I'm back with you again with episode 177 of the Observe Tech podcast. Great week last week. Got to travel out to Seattle and Redmond, Washington to do a week on Microsoft campus for the Microsoft annual MVP summit. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that experience. Of course, we got some other things to talk about that Microsoft did last week. So some good, some bad. But we'll talk about them and we'll kind of lay out where we stand with everything like that. But before I get started, I want to remind everybody that the Observe Tech podcast is now a part of the Geeks Network, a family of podcasts that include shows like The Home Server Show, SurfaceGeeks.net, The Agnostic Tech Podcast, Home Gadget Geeks, Missing Remote, Open Mic Night, and some great shows that if you've never listened to them before, you definitely want to check them out. So make sure you visit thegeeksnetwork.com for that. So like I said, last week I did not have a show because I traveled to Seattle, Washington. I traveled on the Saturday, so that would have been a week ago this past Saturday, to attend the Microsoft annual Microsoft Most Valuable Professional Conference. Got to run into all my good friends, a lot of the guys from those shows I just mentioned. Got to see Dave McKay, Brian Friedlander, Jim Collison from The Average Guy, and really had a great time catching up with them as well as many other MVPs who I've met over the years. And of course, we get to hang out on campus, go to sessions. We had a couple of great days with the Windows product team. Our leads and the team really set up a great event, and we got to learn a lot of information about what's going on there. And it's hard to describe. If you've never been to Microsoft campus, it's really hard to describe the feeling that when you go and visit there. This is my fifth visit to there for the MVP summit, and each time it's unique and it's different, and it's just something, you know, if you're a fan and you're an enthusiast, it's really neat to be able to go there and see things and see the campus. It's just a massive campus. The vibe on campus, I mentioned this last year after MVP summit, but the vibe on campus continues to be extremely positive. Folks are fired up there. They are really enjoying doing what they're doing, the changes that have been made in the company through Satya Nadella and his leadership, and the way they're approaching things like Windows and the product iteration cycle for the different apps, services, and things of that nature. I had an opportunity on Tuesday night to have dinner with several other MVPs, along with a group of people called the Windows and Devices Champions. These are program managers and members of the Windows team building different parts of the product who get together and kind of talk about what's going on with their products and their builds and their apps and what's going and things like that. But they also reach out into the community, the enthusiasts, through the forums, through the feedback app, to talk to people about what's going on with Windows 10, what's going on with the apps, and getting direct feedback from those folks. And meet once a week to kind of touch base on what's going on and how things are progressing within each of their elements. A really, truly cross-platform team, across the platform team, not necessarily cross-platform like Android or iOS, but across the Windows team. So it brings together these individuals that represent different elements of the Windows and Devices group to talk about what's going on with the product. So again, there are people there. A lot of people sitting on the outside looking in don't see Microsoft as people, but see it as an entity, a corporate entity, this big company. And I think a lot of people tend to forget that there are passionate people there who are working every day to bring the best possible products that are available. Does it happen perfectly? No. We learned last week that things don't always go perfect when it comes to Microsoft. But those folks are real. They are working on things because they're passionate about those things, and I think that's important to keep in mind. Now, most of the information that we heard over the the course of the Microsoft MVP Summit is considered under non-disclosure agreements that we sign with Microsoft when we become MVPs. So I'm not allowed to share any of that information. However, on Thursday afternoon, before I caught my red eye that night back home to the East Coast, I had an opportunity to sit down and have an interview with the senior program manager for the Windows Insider program team who works on the data stuff. His name is Samir Sawawa. And there's a post from June where he talked about how Windows Insider feedback influences the development of Windows 10. And we had a great MVP session with him, summit session with him on Monday afternoon. What I was able to do on Thursday was sit down with him for about a half an hour and interview him for a story I'm working on for SuperSight for Windows. And so I have an opportunity to really tell the story about people that are behind the data, the people that are behind the OS we're seeing, the people that are building the apps. And so it was a great interview. I'm glad I had the opportunity to do that. That story will be out later this week, but it really will give you some insight into the fact that this is more, that one, we're more than just numbers to Microsoft when it comes to feedback. And two, those folks over there on that end really want to get it right. But the sheer volume of data that they see requires that they've had to make some changes. And I'll talk about that in the story. And just, you know, keep your eye out for that. Of course, I'll be pushing it out on social media. But it really is eye-opening. And for me, this is my fifth visit, so it's becoming less and less of a surprise because I'm getting to see it every year that I go out there for Summit. These folks are passionate. They want to build the best possible product. And just like us, they get hurt when they see the negative. Sometimes they make that bet. Sometimes they create the negative. But you know what? It pains them when that happens. Those folks are not sitting there in Microsoft behind the walls plotting for the best way to mess with their customers or to mess with us as testers or insiders or the users of Windows 10. They are really looking for the best possible way to deliver the best product and services that they can to us. So I always do appreciate the fact that we get hosted out there. It's a massive event. This time I think it was a record number of people who came to the summit, and it was somewhere in the 1,300 people, and logistically, these folks just make this happen, and we get to use spaces on campus to be able to do meetings and these briefings that we get from the different product teams, and it's just an amazing event logistically, but it's also just a great event because of the amount of information and interaction we get to make with those folks. So one thing I did do while I went to Summit, the day before I flew out for Summit, my Microsoft Band version 2 arrived. And so I was able to take it on the trip with me and use it. It worked very well during the summit. I didn't have any major issues with it. I guess if I had to tag one thing on Band V2, it's battery. And that's kind of a common theme of an issue with it compared to its V1 predecessor. And, of course, it's got several upgrades when it comes to the band itself and the functionality that it has. Not only the new sensor, the new barometric sensor that helps you measure the number of steps you take, measures how many staircases basically you would have climbed based on your elevation changes and things like that. It works extremely well for those types of functions. Sleep detection, auto sleep detection has worked 100% every night that I did trigger sleep detection myself a couple nights. But auto sleep detection, which was kind of hit and miss on V1, worked extremely well on V2 this past week. It even picked up a 2-hour nap I took Friday afternoon after I got home from the West Coast, where I was catching up on a little bit of sleep and jet lag. So I don't ever remember that happening with V1. So really impressed with the improvements, and I'm going to write up a little bit of a review on that and talk about the different areas of the band and how it has worked for me. Of course, you can go to SuperSight for Windows this past week. Rod has been putting up a tremendous amount of information about the enhancements to Microsoft Band V2, and I've got a couple of how-tos in there as well already. So let's talk about the big elephant in the room last week, and that was the OneDrive announcement that happened Monday night. Now, this got dropped on very late on Monday night East Coast time, so it was a little earlier in the evening there in Seattle and in Redmond, Washington. We were staying in a hotel in Bellevue, but it really threw everybody off guard. Basically, what occurred was it was a very short blog post that was labeled from the OneDrive team, not from a specific individual. and it laid out the fact that there were a handful of abusers that were storing somewhere in the ballpark of 74 terabytes of data using their unlimited OneDrive storage that they were provided as subscribers to the Office 365 service. Now, what this meant was that last year, you can go back and you can pull up the post where Julia White says, we're going to change this and we're going to offer unlimited service, unlimited storage to subscribers of Office 365. And this was for business, university, personal accounts, home accounts. It didn't matter. Unlimited storage. Well, what they did was they've revoked that unlimited on those subscriptions. They'll still get 1 terabyte. But the real big shocker was that they took the free allowance that everyone gets, which is 15 gigabyte, and they are going to cut it down to 5. And then the 15 gigabyte camera roll bonus that we all got, whether we bought a Lumia phone or through some other marketing things that Microsoft did from the OneDrive team, such as a couple years ago, when iPhone, iOS got an upgrade and there wasn't enough room on some of the devices, and one of the recommendations Apple made was to delete pictures. Well, that kind of defeats the purpose, right? So OneDrive came out on social media and said, we can help you save your pictures here. Use this 15 gigabytes of free camera storage. So what we have is the first off, the change to unlimited for subscribers. No problem. Well, it is a problem for some, I guess. But the thing is, if you're not happy with it, you're a subscriber, they'll prorate a refund for you for the service, and you don't have to keep it. If you banked on that being unlimited and you're not going to get unlimited, you can make a change. For free users, we don't have much choice. We signed up, we use the service. So they've cut the 15 gig free down to 5. The 15 gigabyte camera roll is gone. Now, I did ask the question about all those other bonuses that are available. If you remember right, there's some from Bing where you could get an extra 100 gigabytes. There were some for buying Surface. There's one for Groove Music, which is a subscription. By the way, that one's safe. That's 100 gigabyte. It's being paid for by a subscription. That's why it's not going anywhere. All those other loyalty bonuses I mentioned, whether they came from an enthusiast bonus or a store bonus or whatever it was, those are not at risk. The only bonus that is being changed in this is the 15 gigabyte camera roll bonus. So sometime through early next year, they will start to implement these changes. That means as they implement the new levels, you may or may not be above that level and you will have to take some actions. There are some good guidelines on OneDrive for how it works. So what happens if you go over your budget? And so WinBeta, Ron over there at WinBeta has a great post from this past weekend that kind of talks about that and some of the ways that they will take effect to your changes if you're over the budget of the new storage limits. So let's kind of review those. First off, you'll be notified. So when the change is made, you'll get a notification that says you have 90 days, 3 months, to take action before the account becomes read-only. If you're over quota after the 90 days, you'll still have access to all your files, but only for 9 more months. You can view them, you can download them. However, you can't add anything, you can't edit them, you can't make any changes. If you get to 9 months after you've gotten, so you'll have 90 days to take action, then 9 months to fix being over quota where you're read-only. If you're still over quota, your account's going to be locked. That means you won't be able to access any of the content on your OneDrive until you take appropriate action to get it down under the level. After 1 year, they could feasibly delete the content you have on OneDrive. So if you are one of those folks that have a lot of storage on there and you're going to get cut down, you got to do one of two things. You either have to subscribe to Office 365 and get the 1 terabyte of storage, which Microsoft is going to offer those folks a free 1 year subscription to Office 365 Personal that will get you over the storage limit and you'll be okay. Of course, you got to provide a credit card. That means auto renewal will be in effect and you'll have to make a decision within a year whether or not to renew that subscription or not. This is probably not a bad way to get yourself safe in using your files, but then slowly either trim down your storage or make changes so that you're going to stay with it if that's what you choose to do. So that's something you want to check out. You want to be aware that, yes, the changes are coming, and they are going to take action if you don't do things to get it back under the limit. Then last week we had a bit of a rumor got loose out there at Microsoft, actually not at Microsoft, but through the Microsoft Answers forums. A Microsoft support engineer commented to a user. A user got on the forums and said, "When is Cortana coming to India?" And the support engineer responded back and said, "It will be released on the 10th of November." Now, if you are in the Insider program and you connect the dots, we know that Cortana has been available through the preview builds or the insider builds that we've been getting since 29 July, which are basically test builds for Threshold 2 that was known to be expected for this month, that it contained Cortana in India. And there was a blog post about it several weeks ago. So if you connect the dots to 10 November, as the support engineer said, it gave good indication that the Threshold 2 build would be released tomorrow, because today is Monday doing the podcast, the 10th of November on Patch Tuesday, because tomorrow is the normal Patch Tuesday month. This update is a routine update in the sense of Windows as a service, even though it's bringing new features and things. It's a, considered a routine update. So I even wrote the story about the fact that it looked like 10 November was going to be the release date. So we're apparently Microsoft pulled that engineer's post from that answers form, so it's gone. I don't know whether that changes anything, but I still expect the Patch Tuesday tomorrow to contain the Threshold 2 build update. The big question I have is that I had understood that this was just going to be another update, kind of like the cumulative updates, but it's going to be specifically for the Threshold 2 update that we're getting on Windows 10. Whether or not that's going to be a build-over-build upgrade like we did with 10240 that was released on 29 July, or whether or not this would be a patch that basically is downloaded and applied. So we'll have to wait and see to be 100% sure of that. But last week on Thursday, Microsoft released Windows Insider's Fast Ring build 10586 for Windows 10 devices. And this build has got every indication that it is probably the build that's going to be delivered this week, I think, for Threshold 2. No watermark on the desktop, so there's no indication that it's a test build. All indications of insider preview are gone from the build page and other areas that you normally see it at. So it has the look of a retail build that's going to be released. Now, is it perfect? No, there was one issue. And that was if you have an SD card in your device, some people were freezing up at 40% of the install and having to start over, pull the SD card, the install continues. So it's got a little bug there that has to be patched, because who knows how many people have SD cards in their devices, especially tablets and things of that nature. And speaking of tablets, small form factor devices, the last two builds of Windows 10 have been unable to be installed on those, like the HP Stream 7, because of a bug with the resolution that would cause the install to blue screen and revert back to the previous build. So my HP Stream 7 has been setting on two builds ago. I can't remember the build number, but when I got home from Summit, I was able to get it back enrolled in Fast Ring. It took about 24 hours for it to finally pick up 10586, and now I have installed that and it's running great on that device. Still a little bit of lag going to the start screen, but overall, it's a good update for the small form factor devices, and there are no more blue screen issues either. One other little issue that this build has that was in the known issues, and there were only two, which is great, is that Insider Hub, some occasions, would not be reinstalled or would be removed when that upgrade happened. Now, it didn't happen to me on both of my devices, but I did do a post about how easy it is to reinstall the Insider Hub. So 10586 only had two known issues. One was about messaging, that you would have to go in and delete a cache because sometimes the messaging history would not show up in the new messaging app that's been released over the last few weeks. And then the other one was this Insider Hub issue. So all in all, the shortest list of known factors that I've seen on a new Windows 10 install build in quite a while. So we're getting close to 10586 or to Threshold 2. I believe it will be 10586 being released. I expect it tomorrow, but you got to remember that later this week, on the 12th of November, Windows 10 is arriving for the Xbox One console. Right now, they've been calling the preview the new Xbox One experience. That is expected on the 12th of November. That is known to be expected on the 12th of November. They've already came out a couple weeks ago and said, yep, it's coming on the 12th of November. Now, when I got home from Summit, I had a 3.5 gigabyte update waiting for me on my Xbox One. I'm in the new Xbox One Experience preview program, and it is build 10586 for Windows 10 on the Xbox One. So that's the same build that got released on Thursday for the Insider program Fast Ring, and we're still waiting on a mobile build. Hopefully this week we'll see a mobile build, but it'll be interesting to see what build that is. We know that 10581 was the last Windows 10 mobile build that was released the week before I left for Summit. So we're waiting to hear on mobile. Mobile is expected to be released in December. Microsoft has already said that, but we're still looking to see whether or not we're going to get another build for Windows 10 mobile. Then last night, with talking about Xbox One and the new Xbox One experience, I had a small update, about 350 megabyte at the end of the night, that I did download and install. So new Xbox One experience is running great on Xbox One for me. I really like the improvements, the speed of access to things like the guide so that you can look at what's on the different channels really has improved a lot. And the overall, the whole dashboard has been faster with new Xbox One experience. I haven't dug into social media lately to see how others are experiencing this latest update. I need to do that because I have been watching Twitter and things, and people have reported some serious problems when they're installing the new Xbox One experience. So that does create some concern, but Microsoft has been able to deal with most of the issues, I think, that people have come up with. So you have to just go with the flow. But it is going to be released on Thursday, and you can expect to, I don't know when in the day that's going to be. Normally, coming from the West Coast, they usually do that late in the morning, so around 10 a.m., which would put it just after lunch, our time here on the East Coast. Okay, so Windows 10 coming. Fall update is on the verge of being released. We may already be seeing the build on Insider Fast Ring preview that we all got last week and was able to install. In fact, I got to install it, download it over Microsoft's Wi-Fi network, which was kind of cool, just kind of meta in that sense. But that's exactly how 10240 happened back on 29 July, if you remember right. A couple weeks ahead of time, Insiders got a build that was not watermarked, that did not have any Insider preview markings on it, that ultimately became the release version of Windows 10 on 29 July. So I suspect that's exactly what's happened here, that build we got last Thursday is very likely the build that will be released to everyone, maybe with a small patch to fix the 40% issue with the SD cards installed, on what I believe will be tomorrow. Excuse me. There are some other rumors running around that say that it might be the 12th. That's also the day of the Xbox One console update, so it could all be getting farmed out together as well. And that does also mean that we might just see some new momentum numbers for Windows 10, because they're about to add, I don't know the exact number for Xbox One consoles, but speculation has put that around 20-25 million consoles, which will bump the number of Windows 10 installed devices, and maybe we will hear some new updates, because it has now been over a month since the last momentum numbers that we heard on the 6th of October, and that was when Panos Panay and Terry Myerson announced there were 110 million devices running Windows 10 at that point. So we're well into another month of time, and it'd be good to hear where the momentum's at and see how the progress is going towards their goal of 1 billion devices running Windows 10. Microsoft continues to make a few other changes around the campus in the business area. You might remember several weeks ago that Brad Smith was promoted to president, and now they're building an entire division around him called Corporate, External, and Legal Affairs. A new general counsel has been appointed. His name is Horacio Gutierrez, and they are building up teams to take on issues like privacy, security, external relationships with government agencies, universities, nonprofits. So really putting a huge investment in the privacy challenges that the technology sector faces. And this is Microsoft's way to do that, by building an entire division and department that will focus on those issues. We already know Brad Smith has been very engaged in the privacy issues and talks about the cases they're going up against the governments for different privacy related issues. But this is truly a commitment. When you commit resources to something, you're saying it's important. And that's exactly what Microsoft is doing here with this new Corporate, External, and Legal Affairs department. Another good story that got a lot of traction last week was an interview with a hacker by the website called WAP Mobile. And they interviewed this guy. His name was, Steve Lord. He's considered a white hat hacker. A white hat hacker is basically a hacker for good. They go in there and choose to attack systems and get hired to attack systems in order to expose their weaknesses so they can be hardened, so they can get better. So the interesting comment that got a lot of traction with the people on this was about Windows Phone. And he basically said it is one of the most secure OSs that he has explored on Windows Mobile. Windows Phone, seems to have the hardest nut to crack. And then he talks about BlackBerry, Android, iPhone, and other platforms. So Windows Phone users really liked this article and really connected with this article on social media and talked about it a lot. And it says a lot. And we're not talking about the 3% here. We're not talking about the size of the audience. We're talking about the security of the OS itself. And so here's a guy who's living his hacking and for good to test things, who has said that Windows Phone is by far the hardest OS to get into compared to the other mobile OSs. So it's something for Windows 10 users and Windows Mobile users to hang their hat on. We all know the situation with Windows Phone and Windows 10 Mobile. We're waiting on the 950 and 950 XL. We're waiting on Windows 10 Mobile to be released next month. Those devices are expected this month sometime. I got to see a couple more of those last week. They are really nice devices. The 950 really feels good in your hand. It's got an awesome looking camera. In fact, some images got shared over the weekend by Brandon LeBlanc, who is one of the senior PMs on the Windows team. And he's been using the phone, and he posted some pictures that he took around town of it, and they're just awesome photos. So it's going to be nice to have another high-end phone, which the Lumias have always been known for. But security-wise, Windows Phone is a great platform to be on. Another comparison video got done, or comparison got done between the 950 XL and the LG G4 in a video photo shoot-off, basically. I'm using the G4 right now myself. Like I said, the 950 has been shown to do some awesome photography, awesome video. And so there's a really great comparison. This one came from, it's called Super HD View is the website that did the comparison. Not sure where they got their hands on the phone. There's certainly a lot of prototype phones running around the Microsoft campus. Saw them in a lot of Microsoft folks' hands because they are using them and testing them. But if you're interested in seeing how well that camera performs in several different situations, you want to go check out that link. This past week, Shazam got a new app update. They've gone full Windows 10 Universal Windows platform, which means they now have an app that runs on the desktop, which can help you detect television as well as music. And that means that app is compatible with other Windows 10 platforms. So I know Shazam has had a really good solid Windows Phone mobile app. And I believe this app will replace that version because they'll be able to maintain the single code base. So I posted up some screenshots of that for my weekly app gallery that I've been doing lately. Another big change that has come and was announced and confirmed through a user voice forum for Windows Mobile, Windows 10, is the fact that spam reviews. Reviews that make zero sense, that are given 5 stars for apps, whether they be hired. And I have had the discussion on social media before about the review systems that are in existence on all platforms. It's an area for a target that is ripe for abuse. People can easily target those things. And we've already heard about Amazon taking on the same type of event where people are doing reviews and getting paid for them, or companies are offering products and services and compensation to individuals to do those reviews. And so Amazon has taken a stand on that. And now when it comes to apps, on the Windows 10 platform, specifically Windows Mobile, they now have live updates that were recently implemented. This note is November 6th that says you can now respond to the review. You can look at public responses to the public response. There can be public responses to the review, and you can escalate to support in any cases where you need to delete the comment if it violates policy. There's technology in place now to detect and remove a large majority of the spam reviews, and there's also a thing to mark how helpful a comment is. So great tools to help you discover apps, but to also help discover the spam stuff and get rid of it so that it is not influencing things on the platform. So I think that's a great update. The week before I left for MVP Summit, a company called Wire, who is made up of people that used to be part of the Skype team and some other places, they have released an app called Wire for Windows. It's a Win32 program. It's not a proper Windows Store app. And they tell me they are working on one or looking at working on one, but they have apps for iOS, Android, and now for Windows Desktop. And it's a very neat, rich communications experience. It supports full HD video, audio. You can share images, YouTubes. It doesn't matter what you share. Whatever you share in the window, it is a very rich-looking experience and very much focused on content. They do know, I've had this discussion with them, they do know that folks want to see a modern app. They want to see a modern app because then it can be available on Windows Phone, which this is not available for right now. And it's a Skype competitor. It's very easily a Skype competitor, and it allows you to connect with people using this tool. But unfortunately, the Win32 app has no system tray icon, so you can't leave it set in there, kind of minimized in the tray while you work and get any alerts. They told me the solution is to minimize it, let it set up pinned to the desk or to the taskbar, and then get alerts through that, which does work technically. And I guess by all rights, whether it's running the system tray or running the taskbar, it really doesn't matter. But there is no lingering presence of Wire when you shut the program down. So I'm looking forward to using that more and connecting with more people on that and see how that works well compared to Skype. Maybe it takes away some of the overhead that Skype has. And of course, we're still waiting on the new apps that are supposed to be, we're seeing them in preview right now, but that are supposed to help replace the Skype desktop app program experience that we're currently using on Windows 10 from back since Microsoft pulled the modern app that was built for Skype. So still waiting on some Skype stuff, but there are alternatives if you are interested in using one of them. The user base may not be as big, but as long as the right users are on there and you get the right people there, this could very well be a good replacement tool for Skype if you're looking to cut the overhead piece. And then the last story I wanted to talk about was the fact that Microsoft has decided that they aren't going to let OEMs just go to whatever date they want to go to when it comes to OS support. They are basically telling OEMs that October 31st, 2016 is the last date they can sell a PC with Windows 7 pre-installed. Now, that's still just under a year away, so they can continue to sell their Windows 7 pre-installed machines, and I'm sure others are selling the OEM version of Windows 7 still as well. But this is a specific action by Microsoft to help OEMs start to move away. Now, they allowed, this is actually well beyond the normal date for Windows 7 being pre-installed and sold because of the issues that happened around Windows 8 and 8.1 and the reception of that OS. Microsoft allowed companies to still sell Windows 7, and they have actively and proactively advertised these systems for sale. I was easily able to find Windows 7 based systems for sale from Dell for a job that I did that the folks wanted Windows 7, not Windows 8.1. So Microsoft has established these dates. It means they have just over a year until that end of life. Windows 10 is intended to be that replacement, obviously. So now next summer, October or June 30th, Windows 8 hits that deadline. And then Windows 8.1 also hits that same deadline, October 31st. So Windows 7 Professional and Windows 8.1 will both no longer be allowed to be sold on OEM devices after October 31st of next year and then next summer for 8. Now, everybody should be upgraded from Windows 8 if you're still running the OS. That was a mandatory update 2 years after the release, which would have been last summer or last fall, and you probably aren't getting proper updates if you're not updated now, so you need to do that if you're still running that OS. And, of course, Windows 10 we know is out. Windows 10 is perpetual. Windows as a service. Whether there will ever be an end date, we don't know yet. The way Microsoft has explained Windows 10 is that it's Windows as a service. This is the last version of Windows. And in fact, with Threshold 2, which we're expected to get this week, they have changed the way they are marking the build numbers. And now you will see the year and the month of the release. So, for instance, Threshold 2, 10586, the build that we got last week, is marked as build number 1511, which is 2015, the 11th month, and then in parentheses you see the build, so you have an idea. So that is how they're numbering the builds now. And so if it releases in February of 16, that would be 1602, and then the build in parentheses behind it. So this is the new norm for how Microsoft is going to name the builds going forward, as we see the Threshold 2 release, and then, of course, next year as we start to see Redstone. So, you know, there are a lot of changes going on. My big hope for 10586, I can't wait to get it running on my everyday machines when it gets released, because I will upgrade immediately to that build. I have it on my preview machine, so I'm running one dedicated machine that's Insider Preview, and I run it on my HP Stream 7. But I'm looking forward to getting in this OS and using it on the drivers I run every day, which is basically this podcasting machine, my main desktop, because stability has got to be important. There's been a lot of complaints about the stability of Windows 10 and the release build we got at the end of June, or I'm sorry, the end of July, which was 10240. And so Windows 10 has got to gain some stability. People, it's got to stop being so disruptive to people. And so my hope is that Threshold 2 will bring that stability. The cumulative updates we've gotten now, 7 or 8 of them, I think, since late July, are supposed to also be delivering these things, but there's still way too many people having issues with Windows 10 and the release build with blue screens and driver conflicts and things of that nature. So, and I get it. Hardware out there running Windows is widely varied. There's so many different possibilities and configurations and companies and builds and pieces of hardware that people can put into their own machines that it is easy to have issues because of the variance in the hardware. But Microsoft's got to deliver better stability. And so far from my use of 10586 over the last several days, it certainly seems to be stable. But I think stability is only proved in the long run, which is why I'm really excited about getting this build on all my devices so that I can give it a real run through, use it like I use Windows every day so that I can see how that stability has settled out. So that's it for episode 177, kind of a catch-up, tell you a little bit about the MVP Summit week that I had last week, and of course what's coming up this week with the new Windows 10 release builds that we're expecting, Windows 10 on Xbox One. There's all kinds of stuff going on. If you blink, you'll miss something. I'm going to talk more about Microsoft Band V2. I gave you a little insight into how the travel was with that and how it's working. I'm going to actually write up that experience for the Supersite this week. And, of course, I'm working on that story with the senior PM, Samir Sawawe, that I talked to about data and Windows Insider Program to bring a personal face to that so that folks understand that it's more than just numbers that are behind the walls there on campus in Microsoft. And it's really passionate people that want to bring us the best possible product. So until next week, I want you to stay safe out there. Make sure you keep your system up to date and take care. See you next week.